turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'd like to finish up our series on spiritual warfare. I'd like to take a look at verses 19 and 20 as we come to a conclusion of a time that we have spent in verses 10 through 20, and looking forward to really tonight. Are you ready? And Paul declared, as for me, this is what I would like you to do. Pray that God would give me the strength to be faithful to the calling of God in my life. And so we pick up in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. And why don't we start once again as we're going to conclude tonight. But let's go ahead and pick up Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and read all the way down, and then we will take a look at verse 19 and 20. We started off, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickednesses in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Verse 19. "And for me," underlying that, "and for me," I want you to pray, "that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds," he was in prison, "that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." We have looked at the book of Ephesians, and just to recap for a few moments of what Paul has been declaring to us in Ephesians in chapter 6, is that we are to stand. And he mentions that standing four different times, that we are to stand, that we are to withstand, having done all to stand, stand therefore. And we have also mentioned that the word able is used in three of these verses, that we are able to understand the warfare, the wiles of the devil, that we are able to quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And so we are able to overcome the satanic attacks that he gives to us. And then we also mention that there are two different verbs that are used. One is taking, the other one is having. And we are to take the shield of faith. And so he declares here in verse 14, "Stand therefore, having your loins." And so having means that once and for all, that we are to have the truth girded about us. And we are to have the righteousness of Christ in us. And we are to be prepared and going towards the gospel of peace. So those three go together, and they are once in a lifetime. It is me coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is also me accepting the righteousness of Christ. And because of that, I now experience the peace of God within my life. So nothing will take me from the peace of God. I do not stand in my own works, but in His righteousness. And I no longer need to lie, because the truth of God is in my heart. So I now become partakers of a divine nature. Because of that truth that is in my mind, I am going to gird it about. I'm going to tuck it in. I'm going to tighten it up. And so we get the word to tuck it in. When I'm ready to run, I am to take the word and I'm to tuck it in. And I am to have the word of God in my mind, in my heart, all over my life. And then the righteousness of Christ. Not according to my own righteousness, but according to His righteousness. We dare not frustrate the grace of God, but we simply accept the work that He has done. And so I stand here, not boasting, but rejoicing in the glory of our Savior, for Him forgiving all of my sins. And then thirdly, because of that work of the cross, I now experience the peace of God, and I also experience the peace with God. So the enmity of the war between God and I is now over. And there is peace between God and I. And there is no longer a warfare taking place in my own heart. And now I'm longing to understand the work of God so I can rest and cease from my own labor and I can enjoy the work that God is doing. Then the other verb is now interesting because it declares in verse 16, above all, taking. So having in verse 13 and 14, now taking the shield of faith, taking the helmet of salvation, and taking the word of God. And we mentioned the importance of this was when you are out in battle, that you are to take the sword, you are to take your helmet, and you are to take the shield. And the shield would be a shield that was about 4 feet high and about 2.5 feet wide, and you would be able to hide behind it, and you would be able to hold it up and stop all the fiery darts. You were to take the helmet of salvation because the attack will come against your mind. And you are to protect your mind and you are to sanctify your mind with the Word of God. So we are to renew our minds by the teaching of the Word of God. You are to protect that mind because it is the seat of where the enemy will seek to come after you. And you are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And it means here, not the totality of the Word, but it means to take a certain place of the Scripture and apply it to your life. It is the dagger. There were two swords. This was the small dagger that the soldier was able to dig out the fiery darts, and he was able to do hand-to-hand combat against the enemy. And then we saw that when all this is done, then the resource, the energy, that which keeps me alive is prayer. That I am to pray without ceasing. That I am to supplicate. That I am to pray with an intensity, and I am to pray for all things at all times in every situation. And that is the source of my strength. That is the shell in which I am to place within the gun that God has given to me. If there is one thing that God has declared, that my people will not seek my face through prayer. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then I will heal their land, forgive their sin. In other words, I will work in their behalf. But prayer is the opposite of pride. It is the sign of great humility. It is the answer to what we're looking at this evening. So the armor is what God has given to you. It is called the armor of righteousness in the scripture. It is called the armor of light. And here it is called the armor of God. And so it is a armor that is produced by God and given to you. You cannot wear someone else's armor like David tried to wear Saul's armor. You remember when Goliath was there coming against the children of Israel, the Philistines. And the soldiers of Israel were afraid. And David was bringing cheese to his brothers, and he heard this giant begin to defile the living God. And his own brothers were afraid to go out into battle. And so David declared, "Why don't you go out and fight him?" And they said, "Well, whoever goes out and wins, they will be rewarded." So David went and told Saul that he was willing to fight this battle. So Saul there put on his armor upon David. And David fell and finally realized that he had never worn this armor before. So he took it off. And he went out with the armor that God had always given to him, was the armor of light. He took a sling, he took the 5 smooth stones, he went out in the name of God. And Goliath began to make fun of him. "Why did you come out to hassle me? You're like a flea on a dog." And David said, "You have defiled the living God. I come to you in the name of Jehovah, and your head is coming off, you uncircumcised Philistine." And David came back, you remember, and let the rock fly, and it smote the giant, and he was knocked out, and David took the sword and killed him with his own sword. You cannot wear someone else's armor. It is the armor that God gives to you. It is the relationship that you have based your life in. You cannot let others pick out the stones. You must give heed to your own personal walk and the warfare you are in. Because the warfare that you are going through is not what other people are going through. Some are going through extremely difficult times. And some are going through just somewhat difficult times. But no matter where we are in our faith, it is a horrible time. The enemy is lying. He is seeking to snatch away the word. He is seeking to rid you from the work of the Holy Spirit. He desires that you would quench the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, that you would no longer thirst for the things of God. So he desires that you not only would quench the work of the Holy Spirit, but you would do despite to the grace of God. And that if he can get you to a point where you are looking to yourself and looking to your own sufficiency, then he has beat you on every area of your life. And now you are meditating upon your failure. You are looking upon the difficulty in your life. You are no longer able to worship God and focus upon the things of the Word. And Satan is rejoicing because you are telling everyone how powerful the enemy is because no longer is praise and thanksgiving coming out of your mouth, but the difficulty and the situation now takes the preeminence within your life. And no matter how difficult it becomes, we are to have a word of the Lord in our mouth. After David won the great battle with Saul, it declares, "I love you, Lord." He never allowed his heart to become bitter. Paul the Apostle would never go through a door of discouragement. And so here, Paul in Ephesians is declaring, "Listen, in the midst of my imprisonment, in the midst of this horrible battle raging against my life, when some are preaching Christ with contention and strife, and others are rejoicing because of the horrible situation that is taking place in my life, and I am buried in this prison, I rejoice, and therein I do rejoice, that many of the brethren have waxed more confident because of my bonds in Christ. So I want you, brothers and sisters, not to pray for my deliverance, not to pray that God would get me out of this prison, because God has a reason for me being here. But this is what I want you to pray for. I want you to pray that I would be strong." And that is the prayer that God is seeking to get in your life. What he hears constantly, "Lord, get me out of this thing in Jesus' name." Or, "Lord, give me this in Jesus' name." What I am afraid that he very seldom hears from the body of Christ, "Lord, give me the strength to be faithful where you have me right now." And I say that with somewhat of a confidence tonight, because we are a people that are totally discontent. If we have an apartment, we want two. If we have two rooms, we want three. If we have one car, we want two. If we have two garages, we want three. If we have a pair of clothes, that's great, but we like to have more shoes. If I can have a pair of shoes for every day, that's great. If I can have one for the morning, evening, that's better. If I can have one wife, that'd be great. If I can have something on the side, that'd be great. Lord, I'm not content. I'm miserable. Just get me married and I'll be happy. So you get married. Lord, I'm miserable. Just get me unmarried. I'll be happy. You got the two birds inside wanting to get out and the two birds on the outside wanting to get in. Lord, give me the job and I'll praise you. God, I hate the job. Get me out of this job. Lord, put me in the ministry, I'll rejoice. God, I hate the ministry. Get me out of the ministry. Lord, I'll rejoice. Lord, take me to the beach. Lord, it's hot out here. I'm going home. Lord, I'm starving. Here's the food. God, I hate meatloaf. God, I want an In-N-Out. Lord, they didn't cook it enough. Oh, we are a people that love to suck onions like the Egyptians or like the children of Israel coming out. And we are a people that find fault and we find things that are wrong and it's never good enough or it's too cold or it's too hot or the study's too long or it's too short or it's not deep enough or it's too deep. And, well, time out. What would make you happy? A 67-inch television Monday night until your neighbor got a 76-inch. Then you'd sit there and gripe and complain. You see, the problem is not give me, the problem is inside. David declared, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." It is God that gives the cup. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to maintain the cup. It is the work of God to make you content where he has you right now. It is the work of the enemy to tell you that you don't have God's best right now. The one you're married to is not God's best. just continue to treat them bad and they will divorce you and you can go marry that fine looking gal three rows away from you right now. Well, she's 18 and your wife is 65, so the body grows old, but the mind never tires. But I'm not content. And Paul is praying that real maturity doesn't seek to get out of a situation, but seeks to be victorious in the situation. It was Nebuchadnezzar, you remember, that had to beg Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out of the fire. They were thrown into the fire. And they were thrown into the fire because of their faith. And I am thrown into a trial not only to test my faith, but sometimes to purify my heart. And there's nothing like a good dose of a trial to refine my commitment to God. Because when I take my eyes off of the Lord, I begin to do things that bind my hands, begin to bind my heart. No longer is there any liberty in my life. And so God allows me to be thrown into a fire to burn away that which is not of Him. Now my hands are free and my life is at liberty in Christ and I'm rejoicing. And people have to tell me to come out of the fire because I have forgot the fire, because the fire of the Holy Ghost has overcome the fire of the temptation. But as long as I see the temptation, as long as I see the difficulty, as long as I see the discouragement, as long as I see the disappointment, then I'm not looking to God. Paul said, pray for me, that a voice of utterance might be given to me. As for me, and don't pray that I would be delivered, but pray that I would be faithful. Because you don't want to go back through this again. I want to learn my lesson. I want to go through the refining fire of the Holy Spirit. You remember the story I read to you. A letter that John MacArthur received from a young convert. I am a young man of 23 years old. I came to Christ when I was 19. In that time, I have grown in the Word, and I have staggered, fallen down, been crushed, been convicted of driving under the influence of alcohol, convinced by a neurotic legalist that I was demon-possessed, gotten a woman friend pregnant, but I have begun to regain my spiritual senses. Please send me some ammunition, speaking of tapes and books. The battle lines are drawn. The trenches are being dug. I am not one of those caught shamefaceful when my commanding officer will return. And when the record is being reviewed, I want it to be written that the soldier in question, namely me, after repeatedly disobeying orders and going AWOL during wartime alert, finally got his armor, reported back to his commanding officer, fought courageously and fearlessly without batting an eye, hit the enemy with everything he could hit, put his hands on, and inflicted heavy damage in strategic areas to the credit of his patient, forgiving commanding officer. Amen. Well, that is our life. We have loved the Lord. We have fallen. We have strengthened our position. We are ready to fight the battle. So Paul declares in verse 19, as for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am a ambassador in bonds. Now turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And I want to end the study in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and like to draw your attention to verse 13 and 14 because it really ties into what Paul was declaring right now. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16 in verse 13 through 14, Paul is writing to an interesting church, the Church of Corinth. There was none of the churches in so much trouble as the Church of Corinth. None of the writings of Paul dealt with more sinful issues than to the Church of Corinth. There were major problems of divisions going on within this church. This church had some major problems inside and around its own leadership. But there was a move of God among this church, and the work of the Holy Spirit was being poured out. There was disunity, there was a moving of the Holy Spirit, there were all kinds of things taking place. So Paul, at the very end, begins to give his counsel to this church. And the counsel, to me, goes hand in hand with the armor of God. He declares in chapter 16, verse 13, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quiet you like men, be strong, let all your things be done in charity." Let me read that to you again. "Watch ye, stand fast in faith. Quiet you like men, be strong, let all things be done with love." What he is saying is what I'd like to end up with, four simple things this evening. Four things I think would help you in your warfare, and I want to share with you just a little bit about a trial that I've been going through and coming out of. Number one, I realize that the exhortation for me tonight is to watch. Secondly, I am to stand fast in faith. Number three, I am not to quit. Now here in the King James, it's a little bit difficult, but it means the opposite of quitting. I am going to hold my ground. I'm going to fight. And lastly, I am going to love. So I think this is the answer concerning every battle that you will find yourself in. Number one, are you watching? Number two, are you willing to stand in faith? Number three, are you willing to fight the enemy? And number four, are you willing to love regardless of what it cost you in your life? Because the ultimate goal is your love. It is the enemy coming after you to rob your love of Jesus Christ. It is the enemy seeking to rob your love for each other. And it's the enemy seeking to rob your love for a dying world. So Satan desires to give you an attitude towards this world so you never preach. He is seeking to cause great havoc within your family so you never respond to the love of God. And he is seeking to cause you to question your Father so you cannot love God the way you want to love Him. But you were built to love. You were built to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You were built to be a blessing and a poured out offering to the body of Christ. And you were built to enjoy the family that God has given to you. So Satan desires that you would hate. God desires that you would love. And so the choice now comes down to the issue, do I go God's way or do I go the enemy's way? Paul declares to this church, you need to watch, you need to stand, you need to be willing to fight, but the bottom line is you need to love one another. And so we find, very simply, you're going to be tempted. You guys and gals are going to be tempted like you have never been tempted before. Every one of you. You're going to be tempted in ways that you have never dreamed. We see the news today concerning the hate crimes, concerning homosexuality and the other things taking place. You are going to be tried for your faith. There's no doubt about it. You're going to be persecuted in a way that you have never been persecuted before. So the temptation is going to come after you in that way. But the temptation is going to also come after you to divide your home, to divide your family. The temptation of lust and greed and pornography and the internet is going to seek to entrap you. And the question tonight is, are you watching? Are you looking? Are you searching for the Lord? And when you stop looking to the Lord, when you stop searching for the love of Christ, when you stop looking to the Lord, you start looking to the things of this world, and the enemy grabs your eyes. As long as they looked to the good fruit, they were fine. But the moment the Lord declared, you cannot eat of that tree, Eve could not take her eyes off of that tree. And where your eyes are, your heart is going to follow. And your heart does not have the ability to say no, because you are driven by a powerful emotional drive. Once you start kissing, once you start touching, once you start squeezing, it is impossible to stop unless a train runs over you. Oh, I'll just stop and walk away. Yeah, right. You're so heated, inflamed, and on fire. You're looking once, looking twice, looking three times. Now you're following. You're hoping, you're looking, you're coveting. You just hope to find something that will excite you. Well, what do you do with that? Everywhere you look, it's drawing your eyes in. Every billboard is looking. Everything is around sex. What do you do? Man, you need to look up. Look up to the hills from whence cometh your help. Look to the Lord. But the moment you take your eyes off of the things of God, off of the purity of God, off of the work of God, off of the things of God, your eyes will begin to drift. And so you need to be watching. What? You need to be watching your brothers and sisters to the needs they have in their life. You need to be watching for your children, how you might give them a word of the Lord. You need to be watching how you might be able to help somebody at work. You need to be watching for the things of God. You need to be watching where the opportunity begins to arise. But the moment I begin to start watching for myself, watching that boat, watching that car, watching that thing, then I begin to minister to myself. And when I minister to myself, I begin to have all the problems. You will never find someone ministering to the body of Christ or to their family or to the Lord having a real problem with the things of God, because they are doing what God said. So Paul said, listen, guys in Corinth and gals, you live in Las Vegas. You live in what they call the Paris of this world. You live in the most lustful, lascivious city in the world, where women are running naked, where people are going ballistic, where there's no respect to morals. You need to watch. And you need to watch the enemy, because he's coming after you. You need to be watching for the Lord, because he's coming at any time. And you need to be watching your brothers and sisters, helping them that they don't fall, they don't stumble. And if you're willing to do this, that is the first sign of victory in your life. So tonight, tell me, what are you watching? Are you watching MTV? Are you watching for that thing to come down so you can grab it? Are you watching the ladies walk in the fellowship? Are you watching seeing who gets the raise and you don't? What are you watching tonight? Are you watching your friends getting married? Are you watching your brothers and sisters being prosperous? What am I watching? If it's not the Lord, then I'm in trouble. And so Paul declares, hey, church, the reason why there's immorality, the reason why there's divorces, the reason why there's schisms, the reason why there's divisions, the reason why there's so much gossip, the reason why there's so much pride, the reason why all these things are happening is because we're not watching. We're watching each other. And we need to watch. We need to watch because Peter didn't. And he came as a roaring lion and grabbed him. He wasn't watching and praying. He wasn't watching and ready. And those that are watching are ready for the opportunity that God opens a door. But even if God opened the door, because I'm not watching, I can't even walk through it and be blessed by the Lord because I'm too occupied in myself. And so you begin to understand that the key word of the Bible is I am to watch. I am to look. I am not to be ignorant. I am to be wise as a serpent, gentle as a dove. I am to be ready for battle, ready to do damage to the kingdom of Satan. In Israel, the women carry machine guns and the guys and on the buses, they carry them. No matter where they go, you're in the army from the age 20 to the age 50. The army is instant, ready to go to battle because they were not watching during the 67 war and they were attacked on the most holy day, the Day of Atonement, almost lost everything. And from that moment, they made a commitment to watch and to be ready. And some of you are being blindsided. Some of you are being set up right now for the fall because you're not watching, you're not looking, you're not being careful. You are not to mingle in this world. You are to have a light touch. We are not to meander. We are to be focused like flint, knowing what we're called to do in this kingdom. And I am to watch my children and my wife and my friends, and I am to be a shepherd, and you are to be a shepherd and to watch the things that God has entrusted to you. But not only am I to watch, secondly, I am to stand. And I am to stand, notice, in faith. And it is clarified, my stand is in faith. If I am watching, then I will be in the Word and I will be tuned in to the Lord. Therefore, I will be able to stand. Now check this out. If I'm not watching, I will not be standing. But if I am standing, it means I am watching. It means I've been knocked off my feet enough time that I'm not going to be ignorant no more to this battle. He has tried to rob my faith. He's tried to rob my joy. He's tried to set me up, take me out. He's tried to entice me, come after me, just like he has you. And the times I have lost it are the times that I have not been looking to the Lord. But if I am looking to the Lord, I am standing. And because I can declare I'm standing today, it means I've been watching. And that's good. But I'm not standing any longer in Steve's strength. Sometimes I do, but try not to. But I am to stand in faith. Because my self-sufficiency will be tested. My weakness will come forth. And I will fight the battle in my own strength. And I will try to convince myself that I can do this thing. And I will try to prove to everybody how much I love the Lord. And God will help me fall apart. And I will hit the bottom and I will do not want people finding out because of my pride. And God will remind me that all the stuff comes to the top. And my brothers and sisters will see all the junk beginning to come out when he begins to work in my life because they live with me. And they're willing to take the chaff and throw away the wheat. But God is making me to stand, but not in my own strength, but in faith. And therefore he begins to remove the obstacles. He begins to remove the things I trust in. He takes away the checkbook. He takes away the things in my life. He takes away someone in a relationship to find out what my stand is really in. And he brings scriptures to my mind. If you faint in a day of adversity, your strength is little. And I begin to argue with God and begin to chide with God and begin to ask why. And no longer am I taking God's word for what he said, like Zacharias, because I stand in the presence of God. It was my word I gave you and you don't believe that. And God will reduce you down to his word. And the reason why is not because he's angry, but because he wants you to stand when your friends are gone. When you're in Las Vegas, or you're in the Rockies, or you're in Utah skiing, and some temptation comes, because you are watching, you can stand because the Word of God declares that you are married and you belong to another. End of discussion. And you close the door and you walk into an empty room and you have pleased the Lord. And God wants you to stand. Or when your husband is gone and the loneliness begins to come, you need to stand in the promise of God that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Or when God is answering other people's prayers and he's not answering yours, then you can stand in the promise that God withholds, that he might be more gracious to them. And when you are questioning your salvation, you can stand that God will hold all those who have come to him, that which he has begun, he's able to complete until the day of Christ. We need to stand. It tells us in Galatians, in the liberty of Christ. It says here in Ephesians that we are to stand in faith. In Philippians, it tells me that I am to stand in the Lord. And it declares, I am to stand in God. So my stand is in liberty. My stand is in the faith. My stand is in Christ. And what he's saying, very simply, is that though I have the knowledge in my head, when the warfare is on and the armor is on and there's no liberty in my life, then something has gone wrong. But if I'm standing in faith, there has to be liberty and I have to be set free. And if I'm not set free, then something is wrong and I need to go back to a place of liberty. I need to stand in faith. I need to stand in Christ. I need to stand in God. I need to stand in Christ. Which takes me to the third. If I'm standing, it's because I'm watching. But notice if it says here that I am standing in the promise of God. Then thirdly, the word quiet yourself, it means in the Greek to act like a man or a woman, I guess. It means to quit acting like a baby. Grow up. It's time for you to grow up. I don't want to grow up. I like complaining. Why? Because people feel sorry for me. Why? Because I want to be loved. Why? Because no one loves me. Why? Because you don't know the love of Christ. If I know the love of Christ, I'm able to love others. If I need to be loved by others, I do not know the love of Christ to the fullest measure. God wants to love you with a love, he said, that he will pour out his Spirit and shed abroad the love of God in your heart. So much love that you will be able to love your children in spite of what they do. To love the church in spite of what it does. To love people in spite of what they do. And the reason why you are not moved, the reason why that you're willing to fight, the reason why you're willing not to quit, the reason why you're willing to be a man, to be a woman, to grow up, is because you are willing to stand in faith because you have been watching. And those that watch are able to stand, and those who are standing are able to do warfare against the enemy. They're able to say, this is not human. This is satanic. They're able to say, we will not move. Though you gossip, we will not gossip. Though you are acting like Saul throwing spears, we will act like David and duck. We will not return the spear and become like a Saul. We will not become like an Absalom and undermine the work of God. We will stand and we will be firm in our commitment. It says of Issachar that they were able to keep rank because they were able to discern the seasons and the time. In other words, when the marriage goes up and down, you're stable. When the church goes up and down, you're stable. When the world falls apart, you're stable. When the wrong guy gets in the election, you're stable. Because your eyes are upon the Lord, because you're standing in the faith of the Word of God, and because you're willing to do warfare against this world. But you're not moved. You're not emotionally thrown out of the ring. You don't run away from responsibility. You don't allow the children to dictate your life or a situation to maneuver you to a position that you now are drinking and blaming the church because the pastor didn't say hi. Why are you smoking that cigar? Pastor Steve didn't say hi. Why are you drinking that bud? Because I looked at Don and just got kind of depressed. But why are you smoking that joint? Because Rob's always so happy. Just bums me out. Well, when you get to heaven, there's only going to be one question. What did you do with Jesus Christ? Well, Rob and Don and Steve, well, they have their own problems. I'm going to ask them the same question. What did you guys do with Jesus Christ? Now, you can move, and if you run, if you quit, if you let go of the corner that God has given to you, if you let go of the responsibility, if you're not responsible for the things that God has given to you, if you're not going to act like a woman or a mother, take care of the children and pray for your husband and understand this is warfare, it's because you're not standing in faith. And the reason why you're not standing in faith is because you're not watching for the coming of Christ. But Christ is coming. Therefore, you need to stand. And because you're standing, you're able to do battle. And I couldn't wait to get to this one last one. All night, I've waited all night patiently. I've waited all night for this one moment. And because you're watching, and because you're standing, and because you're not moving, you're able to love. You're able to destroy everything because contrary to what you should do, there's so much love in your life. You understand. Well, we've been through a difficult time. And Gail and I have come to understand something about love that no one could teach us. We've had to learn how to love unconditionally. And it was the word that God came to me one evening and said, Stephen, set still. Don't touch. Now, if you know me, that is not me. I want to help. And God's given me discernment. And God's given me knowledge. I know the answer. And God simply, on this stage, right behind me, to my right, on a Sunday morning, He said, be still and know that I'm God. Stephen, I'm going to show you how you don't always trust me. You're watching everything but me. You're not standing in faith. You're standing in an emotional upheaval in your life. You're not fighting with the weapons I've given to you, but you are fighting carnal things. And the weapon that is formed against you is not human. It has nothing to do with relationships. It has everything to do between light and dark, between good and bad, between God and Satan. And the reason why you cannot love is because you've been moved. And the reason why you've been moved is because you have not stood in my faith. And the reason why you have not been standing in the faith is because you have not been watching every day for me. And when I realized what the warfare was all about, I came to a conclusion in my life that it will never be you guys. It will never be my family. It will never be any human being on this earth. The war that you are in is against satanic powers, principalities, and powers. And Satan is seeking to take your eyes off of your redemption. He is desiring to have you emotionally unstable and going by feelings rather than by faith. He longs to bring you to a point of quitting and giving up, and ultimately to a place that you're unwilling to love the people of God. Well, I believe that as a Christian, the bottom line tonight is that if I cannot love, then I really should not be able to say that I'm a spirit-filled Christian. Because it is the love of God that is shed abroad in my heart. And regardless of how painful, regardless of how hurtful, regardless of how bitter you are, you have chosen that way over love. And the reason why, for you, so you understand tonight, not so you get condemned, but so you understand, is why you cannot love that situation the way you know God wants you to, is because you have quit. And the reason why you have quit is because you're not standing in faith. And the reason why you're not standing in faith is because you've taken your eyes off of the Redeemer. And you've placed your eyes upon the conflict. Well, God wants you to love. And Paul is saying, listen, Timothy's coming to you, Corinthians. And he's kind of insecure. And you guys are kind of strong. And Paul was sensitive to Timothy's life. He was able to love Timothy in a brand new way. He said to Apollos, I want you to go to Corinth. And Apollos said, no. And Paul declared, I wanted Apollos to come, but he didn't want to come. Well, Paul was able to love even though Apollos disagreed with him. And then he sent the rest of the guys in 1 Corinthians and it declared, and they open their hearts, reward them for the gifts that they've given. But sometimes we don't honor each other. Sometimes we cannot disagree agreeably. Sometimes we don't have patience with new believers like Timothy. Why? Because we don't know how to love. Why? Because we are moved. We need to stand and we need to watch. So, in closing, on this time in our lives together, as the war rages on, and God is after your heart to bring you to a place that you will love, period. That you are bigger than they, and you are bigger than the situation because your love will embrace and your love will surround. And when God does that, you have passed the test and you're ready for the next one.
Father, we thank You tonight that, God, there's no doubt